Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
What a good conversation we had last Sunday with Karen Reed. Many of you were here, and what a wonderful opening up a life, right? Just opening up her heart, opening up her life, and the good example in which she's neighboring people. We will always say this, if you missed last week, go to the pod. But I would certainly encourage you, as we do find ourselves in a all-heart series related to global work, that Karen Reed is just a very special lady, a single lady, who is serving the Lord so well, and she shared some things she's learning last week with us, and it's a good review. I'll be listening to that again, and perhaps you would join me in revisiting that neighbor conversation. So are pleased to have with us today Brett Donald. Many perhaps would remember Brett as being a youth pastor here at Living Waters Church many years ago. In 2011, Brett led a small team to move to Burnaby. To align itself with a church there, to reimagine, to rediscover community, to rediscover ministry. And so moving in 2011, in September of 2013, City Lights Church was launched as a neighborhood church, fully committed to being good neighbors and loving people on the ground. And certainly today, as we hear from Brett, speaking to us again from Matthew chapter 28, I think from his teaching and from his example and illustrations today, I think we're going to learn a lot of things. So let's welcome Brett. Brett is married to Natalie. They have two young kids. Natalie is a lot nicer than Brett, but she's with her kids today helping at City Lights. So we're not going to meet Natalie today, but Brett is awesome. I respect him tremendously. Let's welcome
him. Thanks, Dave. So good to be with you this morning. Thank you for having me. And I just want to say the strength and the unity of the leadership and the body here is so good. And you feel it when you're here, but also from the place of strength and unity that is here, there's an ability to pour out life to other places. And we've experienced that in the city. And so I want to say thank you for your prayers, for your generosity. And it's just, yeah, it's so good. And Dave, before he was here with Living Waters, as when he was at the district office, sat on the leadership team of City Lights for years, keeping me in line. And so, and he still let me come today. So thank you. We are in this series, All Heart. And so looking at Matthew 22 today, where Jesus instructs us really in what it looks like to go all in, with all heart, to love God and to love people. And I want to look at this, but then jump from Matthew 22 to another passage. I'm going to pray, and we'll dive into God's Word together this morning and share a little bit of what's on my mind and my heart, and hopefully it can serve you today. Pray with me. Father, we're thankful for how you've loved us. Jesus, thank you for making that love evident and real. And Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and to fill us afresh with your love and to empower us that we would be a people that would be able to act in love in the everyday. And so now in these moments, come and have your way. We need your help. We need your comfort. We need to be changed. And so we look to you. This is about you, Jesus. May you be glorified and pleased. Amen. Amen. So Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Karen last week talked about how loving our physical, literal neighbors is a good thing. And that's a challenge, because I know many of us with our busy lives, we actually don't know our literal physical neighbors. But that term neighbor is an elastic term that Jesus uses. And if you read Luke 10 with the story of the Good Samaritan, a neighbor expands beyond our little physical neighbors to other people. So what does it look like to be a people that love God and love people? And Jesus is making a connection between loving God and loving people. If we love God, we're going to love people. So what does that look like? I want to look at today is how to practically, for me, really wrestling with this. What does it really look like practically to love God and to love people? How do we actually obey the great commandment here that everything boils down to? So I want to look at this today. Love is a packed term, isn't it? Like, I remember 12 and a half years ago, I got married to Natalie on this stage, actually, here. And so we'd say, man, I love my wife. I love my family. But then we also say, I love coffee, right? And so we talk about love in a romantic way. In terms of what actually made for some of us, our love of coffee is kind of a romantic love. It's very personal and intimate. But what does it look like to love? And my conviction is that making disciples is central to living a life of love. I want to propose today and encourage us that obeying the Great Commandment leads us to the Great Commission. And that we, and I know this is true of this church, we want to be people that are giving to mission, but we also want to be people that are living on mission. And so what does it look like for us to engage in that? And as we think about love, really love doesn't start with us, it starts with God. And for us, love doesn't start with our activity for God, it actually starts with our identity from God. And so I want to talk today about three different points, love and identity, love and sending, and love and action. And I want to actually jump from Matthew with this idea of love to 1 John 4. You can open your Bible, but I'm going to put it on the screen. And let me read the first portion here. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Love, God's the source of love, but actually we're talking here, John notes, about who God is, an understanding of identity of God, that God is love. Who God is leads to what God does. If you want to go to the next slide. Verse 9, but God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Because God is love, this leads to him showing his love. And how does he show his love? Jesus comes to manifest, to make real to us who God is. Jesus is God revealed. This is the love of God in the sending and the sacrifice of Jesus to save us. Who God is leads to what God does. And when we step into believing, if you're here today and you are a Jesus follower, when we step and place our faith in Jesus, then we are receiving the love of God and we're changed. So you want to go to the next slide. Now this leads to actually our identity. John says, anyone who loves is a child of God. Is a child of God. We become love children of God when we step into faith in Jesus. Who God is leads to what God does, which leads to who we are. Our identity actually changes. And so being a person of love doesn't start with just activity of love for God, but actually receiving a new identity from God. So with our church, we often talk, and this is important because I might be talking fast at points because I want to get to some stories and practical stuff, but I actually, for me, I think practical stories and things can inspire me. Go, okay, I want to go be more loving, but for me in my everyday life, I actually need a theological framework to understand my identity, that because emotions and personality and inspiration changes, but having to understand that actually this is about identity. This is about who God is and what he's done, which has made me a new person that brings me back and roots me to motivate me to be a person of love and activity. And so I want to encourage you with that today. So we talk about, well, if you think about actually the Great Commandment, it goes to the Great Commission. And the Great Commission of Jesus, he says, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. You know, baptism is about a new identity. You step into a new identity based upon who God is. And so God is Father, and we become his loved children. We become family. And Jesus, we're baptized in the name of God the Son. Jesus is the great King before whom every knee will bow, but he comes as a servant. And he says, if you're going to follow me, you're also going to be a servant. we become servants because of who Jesus is as the great King who serves. And we're baptized in the name of the Spirit. And Jesus sends his Spirit. The Spirit is the sent Spirit of God who comes to empower us to be a sent people. So we're a sent people or missionaries because God is a missionary God. We're a sent people because God is a sent God. So we're baptized into, we receive a new identity. And this is what baptism is about. Now I'm new based upon who God is. And who God is leads to what God does. And what God does leads to who I am. And now this leads me to what I do with my life. So this goes to the next, to the last portion. Let's look at verse 11 here. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. We love because God's loved us. And because we're actually changed now. We're loved children of God. This is what it looks like for us to go and live with all heart and love. I want to leave a phrase with us today. God is sending and we are bending. God is sending and we are bending. God has sent Jesus and he is sending us. And we then bend and extend the love of God to others. Who God is leads to what God does, which leads to who we are, which leads to what we do. So we go and we love our neighbors. Go and love your neighbor all heart. Is anyone here an introvert? Okay, this is that's an ironic thing, right? Because introverts do not want to be identified in the room full of people. Right? The introverts are like, I'm not putting up my hand. But I'm an introvert. So here's the thing about the idea of going and loving neighbors, or getting to know and love neighbors and strangers. How do we step into loving our neighbors and strangers or talking to them, like the awkward conversations with a neighbor I don't know, and talking to them? The challenge there is that, well, I just don't want to talk after work, right? Never mind talking to a neighbor I don't know. I'm just done talking. And so what does it look like to be somebody that's an introvert and you go, I just don't know what it looks like to engage in conversation with neighbors or strangers. That's not me. That's not my personality. Right? Or maybe we think about gifts. Sometimes I go, I'm not an evangelist. I don't have a gift of mercy. What does it look like for me to love my neighbor or to go and be a sent person? That's just not me. I've got two kids. You know what I've realized? I don't love my kids because of my personality or because of my gifting. I love my kids because I'm a parent. It's who I am. Who I am leads to what I do. And God has made us a people, and then we respond with what we do. So love and identity, it's rooted there, and that leads to love and sending. There's this relationship between love and sending. We see, look at verse 9 again here. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son. Jesus is sent out of love. And then if you think about John 20, when Jesus, he rises from the dead, he's resurrected, he shows up to his disciples, and then he says, as the Father sent me, now I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father sent me in love, with this purpose and direction of God's love, for God so loved the world that he gave, that he sent Jesus, so that we might receive eternal life. There's the direction of God's love. There's the purpose of his love. He wants to reconcile us to himself in relationship so that we can have eternal life. God sends Jesus. Jesus comes, sent in love. And then Jesus, when he resurrects, shows up to his followers and says, guess what, followers? Just like I was sent with the love of the Father to show people the love of God and towards the direction of God's love, now I'm going to send you. If you're a Jesus follower, you're a missionary. You're a sent one. Sent with the love of God. There's this relationship between love and being sent. To obey the great commandment and love God and love people leads us to the great commission of being sent ones, that we to actually go love our neighbors is to go and disciple our neighbors. This is the direction of God's love. There's a relationship. Love leads to action. And so I think it's really like it's all in with all heart, a great commission for all nations. And so some people, here's the challenge, I guess, for some of us, or if you're here and you're not a Jesus follower, this might be your challenge. People at times would say, well, how, it seems like there's, like, how do you go and make disciples? You should just love someone without an agenda. Just go love. Have you thought this or heard this? Like, why can't we just go love people without having any kind of purpose? And I think that's, now to be manipulative or to treat people like a project is a problem, because that's not genuine love. But God's love has a purpose. It's got a direction. It's to reconcile people to himself. And when I participate in the love of God, I would say, actually, if I really love somebody, what I want them to know and experience is a reconciled relationship with God the Father. To love someone is to want to disciple them, which is to show them the ways and the person of Jesus. Loving leads to discipling. The great commandment leads to the great commission. So how do we do this? Love in action. Thirdly, what does it actually look like to love God and to love our neighbor? Well, John gives us a glimpse of loving God in John 5. He says, loving God means we keep his commandments. To love God is to obey God, actually. That's how we love God. It's not just through our emotions or singing, or it's through obeying him. Okay, well, how does it look? What does it look like to actually love our neighbor, really practically? How do we go and start this? If we're here today and we're going, I want to love people more, what do I do? I want to live on mission. This is what I've thought through, and maybe it'll be helpful to you. I think about the everyday rhythms of life, because it's a lot of work or to add this big extra thing to our lives. So what about the everyday rhythms of life? And so I think through wiser C, how do you be a wiser Christian? And there's everyday rhythms. If you want to throw those on there, there's work, there's interactions, there's service, eating, recreating, celebrating. These are the everyday rhythms that all of us do. We all eat meals every week, right? We all have celebrations. Culture has celebrations. These things they're just happening. It's regular, it's every day. So how do we love in the midst of these everyday rhythms? How do we go on missions? Let me talk about celebrating as an example. What are major celebrations that we have? Birthdays, for example. So I started to think through, okay, if I'm a part of a family, I'm a child of God, that's who I am, and I'm a sent one, and I'm a servant, if I take identity and I think about rhythms and I bring them together. So the rhythm of celebration with my birthday, how does my identity get expressed in the activity of this everyday celebration and rhythm? So there, practically, I'd think through, how can I invite some of my church family into the celebration? How can I invite some people who don't know Jesus that I'm sent to into my celebration? And how do I posture myself in my celebration as a servant? So it's actually, this celebration is not about me. It's about, because I'm a servant. This is who I am because of what Jesus has done, because of who Jesus is. And so suddenly, something like a birthday party becomes a moment for interactions and for love and for engagement where discipleship can occur. And the thing that's interesting about birthdays and celebrate, you know, people feel obligated to come to your birthday, right? So I threw a poker night, invited a guy that I met at this poker night, not like a hardcore gambling thing, but for fun. So I invite this guy from the poker night to come to my birthday party. And he's like, oh, okay, that's nice of you, sure. Comes to my birthday party, and then from there I was like, hey, you know, I eat, you eat. How about next week, do you want to come over for a meal? He says, okay. And then so he comes to the meal, and there's a bunch of people at the meal. And then I'm like, hey, you know what, in a couple weeks we're going to have another meal, but we're going to talk about the story of God, the Bible, and we're just going to have a dialogue together as a group. Would you be interested in that? And he's like, well, I'll come once and try it out, sure. So he comes. So from a poker thing to the celebration to a meal to another meal. And then we're like, actually, we're going to do it for 10 weeks. 10 weeks go by. The last week in my living room, here we are. There's a Hindu neighbor, Muslim friend from Toastmasters, this non-Christian guy programmer, a few people from the church. We've gone on this journey over the 10 weeks through the story of God. And then at the end, there's this question I ask. I'm like, so here we go. We got through. Like, what's holding you back from following Jesus? And then the Christians are like, well, what holds me back from following Jesus more fully is selfishness. Da, da, da. And then he goes, I don't think anything's holding me back. So I look around the room. I'm like, whoa, I was not expecting this. Okay, well, why don't we pray? And so he's like, sure, what do I pray? I said, okay, we're just going to do a group, right? And the Muslim friend kind of gets up and walks over to the corner to get a snack. This is interesting. And we pray with him. Celebrations. You know what a big cultural celebration is Halloween. And so this couple had been part of our church maybe 2.5 years, and the reason they joined our church, they newly married, they wanted to find a church where they joined together, and he's going, I want to learn how to be a disciple that makes disciples. And so he said, this is what your vision said, can you help me? So I talked to them, I said, well, where do you want to start? They said, well, our neighborhood. I don't know any of our neighbors. I said, okay. Well, I said, Halloween's coming up next month. You can meet your neighbors at Halloween. He said, I don't know, how do you do that? I've never done anything on Halloween. I said, well, I can come over. Why don't we throw a barbecue or something in your front yard, get some candy bars, see what happens. I said, I bet you your neighbors are going to come out. So they said, okay, sure. So we engaged that celebration, put out some cider, full chocolate bars, stand in his front yard. I come over, a few of us from the church. All of a sudden, all of his neighbors start coming out. This collection of people, he's giving out full-size candy bars. All of a sudden, like, word spreads. Families are congregating, and then you got neighbors coming out. One neighbor's like, whoa, okay, hey, you guys want to come over for beers? Now, beers are out in the street, right? It's like, this thing is happening in the neighborhood, all right? And so we're going, okay, well, this is neat. Then that led to them like, well, maybe we should do a block party in the summertime. All right, then that led to, oh, well, then someone's like, hey, there's like a neighborhood watch thing. You should do that. So then their names are Nuver and Donna. So Donna becomes the captain of the block watch for their neighborhood, which leads to going, well, I guess we should, hey, why don't we have a neighborhood meeting? Come over to our house for dinner, all the neighbors, so we can talk about our neighborhood. Okay, and then that led to that. And then Nuver goes, well, one of something in the neighborhood everyone's concerned about is this crack house. So he goes, well, I'm going to bring a meal to the crack shack. He brings a meal over there. And then that leads to, Friday was Donna's birthday. So you know what Donna did for her birthday? And she says, we're going to do a neighborhood garbage cleanup, and we're going to walk from our house in East Van to the SkyTrain station and then come over for pizza. So a couple of their neighbors come over with some of their church community. We call them life communities. They get together, and this is what she does, because she did it on her birthday to launch her thing, because she's like, there's so much garbage in our neighborhood. We want to make our neighborhood better, because Jesus should make our neighborhoods better. But you know, I'm going to do it on my birthday, because on my birthday, people are obligated to come celebrate with me, because celebration is a rhythm of the culture. And, 2.5 years ago, they didn't open their home to people. She'd say, you know, my home was my refuge. And now she goes, but you know what actually is true? Jesus is my refuge, and my home is a missional outpost for the goodness and the glory of God in my neighborhood to make it better, because I'm sent there. I'm like, man, that's good. Recently, someone new joined our church, and they said, what's the outreach program of your church? And I said, disciples making disciples in the everyday life. I said, well, what's the outreach program of your church? I said, that is the outreach program of the church. And so, disciples making disciples. So we have other things, but I was trying to make a point with them about what we're about. And so last summer there was numerous block parties that occurred. Halloween there was numerous things throughout the city. Celebrations occur. Now we're multiplying different life communities throughout the city and throughout the areas. And so there's different things like this that are occurring as people are trying to engage to make neighborhoods and communities better. So celebrations are rhythm. Another rhythm is eating. And so I invite you, like, what would it look like? I don't know how many meals you eat in a week or a month, but imagine what it would look like if everybody said, okay, once this month, I'm going to share a meal with some of my church family, and once this month, I'm going to share a meal with people that I'm sent to that don't know Jesus. Or if you love efficiency, just bring those two together. And posture yourself as a servant to live out our identity through the rhythm of eating, because we all eat. So don't add an extra thing. Just do the regular everyday thing that we already do, but do it with some Jesus-centered intentionality in light of our identity, and see what God will do listening to stories. So much of the conversations I've had where I've gotten to share the gospel with people who've never actually, they've never actually had a Christian friend, never been to church, never read the Bible, never heard the gospel. And suddenly I'm sitting across from brunch or a drink or a barbecue, And I'm asking them questions, and then finally, after you ask enough questions, they start asking you questions. And conversation goes somewhere, just over the table. Just eating. We already do it in the everyday. What does it look like to do that as a sent person? Now, the pressure there is that some of us go, well, we feel like we've got to be foodies, or our house has got to be perfect, or I'm not Martha Stewart. How do I host like this? And I feel like, you know what? It's such good news. It's such good news that we have nothing to prove because Jesus has proved it all. And our acceptance does not lie in if our neighbor thinks that we're the best chef, or if our coworker comes over for a barbecue and it blows their mind. We don't need their acceptance to define us. We've already been defined by our Father God, and we are rooted and grounded in Him and His love. And so from that place, then, we can serve, and we can be sent, and we can make a difference, and we can open up our home and share meals with people. And yes, the thing is, that does take effort, and it takes a bit of sacrifice. But you know what's encouraging to me? Is that when we look at Jesus, is that Jesus didn't sit in heaven and then think, man, that manger looks pretty inconvenient. Don't think I'm going to do that. The cross, a little bit uncomfortable. He doesn't, does he? Because of love. Love leads to some sacrifice, it's true. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, you have to pick up your cross and you're going to do a little bit of death to yourself. And for me, you know what I want? And, you know, I think that what a bunch of us want, we want the power of the Spirit. We want to experience the book of Acts. We want to see the power that raised Jesus from the dead alive in our city, in our lives, in our neighborhoods. We want to see this. That's the resurrection power of Jesus. You know where resurrection power occurs? The resurrection occurs after the cross. Easter comes after Good Friday. And so the thing is, some of the resurrection power that we want to experience, we're going to experience after a little bit of death. After a little bit of death to self. And now suddenly the resurrection power of Jesus will come. And we're going to step into adventures and good things where God is moving. And we get to taste it. But it took a little bit of sacrifice. A little bit of discomfort. A little bit of death to self. Where my birthday parties and our Christmas dinners and our Thanksgivings and our Halloweens and all of the celebrations are not just our little affinity group, but the people that are my best friends that I love. Some awkward conversations, some new neighbors, some hearing people's stories, some immigrants, some people where, you know, I don't know what's going to happen if they come over to my house. Might be a little bit weird. It's a little bit of death to self. And then you get to experience the conversation like that one in my living room where this guy goes, nothing's holding me back. And you taste a little bit of resurrection power. And you think, any bit of death to self is worth it when you taste that. Jesus was willing to go all the way down so that we could raise us all the way up. And may we be a people that engage with what He wants to do, that can live out our identity and go all heart. And we're going to go all heart for Jesus when we're reminded of how He's gone all heart for us. And He has. So I'm going to pray and then invite Dave up. Father, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your love. Jesus, thank you for manifesting and making real to us the love of God. And we invite you, Spirit of God, in this moment to come and to stir our hearts. Stir our hearts afresh with love. That we would be reminded of how much you've loved us, and that that would compel us to be a people that go and spread love in just practical, everyday ways. So I thank you for this church. Thank you for all the gifts and abilities and just the capacity and the heart that is here. And we say, Jesus, we recognize how you've gone all heart for us. And we today want to make a fresh commitment. We're going to go all heart for you. We need your help. Thank you. Amen.
Yeah. As I look across this room, I see some of the most large-hearted, open-handed people in the Fraser Valley, right in this room. And my imagination is full of, wow, a fully released people on mission. How awesome and how community transforming. It can be, as we all take Brett's good advice today. Actually, Jesus's good commandment, seriously. So we release you today with a renewed sense of calling upon your life. And good things come as we are hearers and doers of the word. So thanks for joining us this morning. Trust you have a good rest of your day. Maybe we'll see you sometime this week. And if not, next Sunday, we'll be highlighting our life groups. It's going to be a great Sunday. Blessings.